Blog Talk Radio.
This is the EWN Radio Network.
Anger is about issues. It's never about people.
Hey, it's not okay to treat that person that way. That doesn't make me feel good.
It's time for Life Interrupted Radio, a show empowering women to thrive after the unexpected and create a happy, healthy, wealthy life no matter what your circumstance. Here's your host, Sharon Saylor.
Thank you, Wayne, for that great introduction. And yes, this is Life Interrupted Radio, and I'm your host, Sharon Saylor, for a Friday evening with me. Settle in. Let's all get cozy. Oh, Friday evenings, I hope it's the beginning of your weekend. It is for me. And I so enjoy getting together with you, my friends, every Friday evening at 7 p.m. Let's take a nice deep breath and just settle in. And I've got a hot cup of Earl Grey tea here to get me through. Tonight, we're going to be talking with Denny Stockdale and Charmaine Hammond about the very important subject of bullying. Often we think about bullying, about schoolyard bullying, and yes, that is tragic and we need to combat it. But what about bullying as an adult? Bullying in the workplace, or bullying even in your private relationships? So let's get started and welcome Denny Stockdale. He is the creator of the Abuse Recovery Map, which he created out of his own journey from childhood and adult bullying. His widely held reputation is that of an encourager and creative relationship builder through what we all love to call compassionate conversation. Welcome, Denny.
Thank you, Sharon. It's such an honor to be with you again.
Absolutely. One of my favorite guests, because Denny is such an encourager. Denny, I know you've shared with me, you have a very touching story about bullying and how it affected your life and how this has just become your life mission. Will you share with our audience just a little bit about your story?
Absolutely, absolutely. I grew up in an environment in the 50s and 60s where I was teased, I was called names, I was pushed, I was shoved. You know, a lot of us have dealt with that throughout our life. And that carried on into my adulthood and throughout most of my career. I experienced a lot of different treatments in a lot of different companies. Some of the companies I worked in, I was treated well with one team and not so well with another team. And it actually made me wonder, what is the difference between these situations? Because I'm the same person. And I started digging into my past, and I realized that my abuse, my trauma, the bullying that I experienced happened before I was born. I had a grandfather who passed away 4 months before my mother gave birth to me, and it traumatized her as well as my dad. It was I'm their first child, and they experienced something that most young parents should never have to experience, the loss of a grandfather right before the birth of a child. And because of that, I think I was set up to be a little more sensitive and a little more understanding. And so I've experienced a lot of the different forms of bullying, including being financially bullied in corporate America, also being emotionally bullied in various relationships. And bullying is a strong word. Mistreatment is another word that might be a little more acceptable for some people. But out of all of this, I've really dug into what are the gifts that I have from all of these experiences. And there are a ton of those.
I was curious, what are some of the gifts? I know when we think about bullying, you know, it just makes us cringe. I've been bullied myself, but not to that extent. Share with me just a couple of the gifts. I know tremendous capacity for empathy and compassion is obviously, to me, one of the gifts. But what else have you found is a gift in understanding and going through bullying yourself?
Well, you mentioned the compassion and understanding, and I think that's one of the biggest gifts that we can get from our experiences with being mistreated. The understanding piece is the biggest gift I've received, because I've really dug into my story, and I've watched the stories of others unfold, and some of them are pretty traumatic and tragic. Another gift I've learned is to take a stand for myself. Really, it took me a long time to get to this point where I can say, this is what's most important to me. I now live a value-centered and principle-centered life where I think about what's most important and I make my decisions based on that instead of trying to figure out what does everybody else want from me or for me. So it's given me clarity on who I am and on my passion and dreams, and that's one of the reasons that I've stepped into the arena, or into the fire, if you will, to speak out against abuse and bullying, and particularly as it affects males. It's not a gender-specific problem, and yet the men are often overlooked and ignored when we talk about the tragedy of the trauma from abuse and bullying.
So in a culture oriented about sort of the man should just sort of buck up or take it, or, you know, take it like a man, I think is some sort of crazy cultural thing that I've heard before, you know, sort of buck up. And yet I do often see where there is a man or several men that are often, we'll say, the butt of the joke, and it's really bullying. It's not humor, and it's not funny. You were talking about this idea of your own understanding of your own values and understanding your own mission in life. Is it helpful for people to maybe sit down and have some quiet reflective time and make a list of what's important to them? Oftentimes, if you were just to ask someone, what's important to you? Sometimes I get that deer in the headlight look.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's very important to make a list. And most people would start with things that are mutually important to most people, their family, their friends, the people. And I think if they sit down and analyze their list of what's most important, that at the core of that are going to be some key people who are in their life. And those are the people that have stood by them and are the encouragers, the ones who will be there no matter what, through thick and thin, if you will.
You know, I've got encouragers in my life, and I know I've shared this with you, but I'll share it with the audience, about this idea of I've got two types of encouragers in my life, and I've got the friends who say, oh, love me no matter, they both love me no matter what, but there's ones that'll say, oh, Sharon, you look perfect, even when I know I don't look perfect. They're the ones that won't tell me I have spinach in my teeth, and they love me no matter what, but they're always so positive and so effusive that I don't get quality feedback on my own behavior. Then there's the other group of friends that sometimes it might sting a little bit, but I know they're telling me the truth. I know they're telling me what the outside reality is going on and able to reflect back to me in ways that the other group of friends might not. And I go to some of the friends when I'm feeling one way, and I always go to the other friends when I'm feeling the other way. And I find having both of those groups of friends are critically important.
Absolutely, absolutely. And we need people who will tell us the truth when we don't want to look at our truth. A couple of years ago, I was going through a divorce, and at the same time, I was launching a program around the theme of encouragement. I was trademarking Encouragement Matters and some other things. And some of my quote-unquote friends at the time were giving me such a tremendously hard time about the encouragement that I wanted to bring to the world. And so I was able to stand up because I've got people like you and others who will stand with me as, you know, the positive reinforcements when I'm facing some of those battles and the people who don't understand. And I looked back at the bullying that I experienced even while I was going through the divorce and launching a new movement, realized that it's not about me. It says a lot about the people I was hanging around. You know, so to your point, we need both the encouragers that will tell us how tremendous we are and pick us up when we fall down or forget who we are, and then we also need the encouragers who will challenge us and give us feedback versus criticism. And there's a huge difference.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I just wanted to share one thing that came up in my mind as you were sharing with me about who we hang around with. Not too long ago, I made a new friend and hung around with them for a while, and then I realized, my goodness, this person criticizes everything. Every time we went out for even coffee, the barista did it wrong, or dinner, the waiter was wrong. And I realized that it was sort of rubbing off on me. And as much as I appreciated some of the things about this person, I realized that was a person that I had to put in a different place in my life, because if I hung around them too much, I started to become hypercritical myself. And so I always want to say, be very careful who you choose to spend a lot of your time with, because it does rub off subconsciously.
Absolutely. And basically, you know, in spite of all the personality assessments and behavioral styles and everything else, there are basically just two kinds of people, encouragers and discouragers. And people can cross over. Like some of my closest friends have been very encouraging at times, and other times I don't want to talk to them because maybe I'm disagreeing with something they told me. And I know they're right, but I need to process it for a while. So I might step back and then come back around and realize they really were encouraging. Then there's the people like I was hanging around a couple of years ago who are extremely discouraging. Out of all of this, it's really helped me to realize who I am and what, and again, back to the list of what's most important, what is my character? And my character has become so much more important to me than my reputation.
Oh,
I will stand on who I am and what I stand for any day against anyone, and or with anyone too. And if people badmouth me, that's not my problem. It's not about me. It says more about them. And that's one of the biggest gifts I've learned in the last couple of years, in spite of all the mistreatment and things that are out there. And you and I both have tons of stories. There's a tremendous amount of good and quality people that will give us feedback, and then there's those that we have to avoid.
Absolutely. And we'll have to break for a commercial break here, but when we come back, we'll be talking to Denny Moore about bullying, what is bullying, defining it in a little greater detail, and getting some tips on how to, I'll use the word dissociate or detach from bullying. I know Denny shared with us a couple of times already that it's not about you. But we'll explore with Denny in just a couple of minutes after this commercial break what that really means.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Our sponsor for Life Interrupted Radio this hour is www.mindfulnessinactionbook.com, mindfulnessinactionbook.com, where you can go and get a wonderful 4-minute meditation free, absolutely free to have a 4-minute meditation. Imagine being able to relieve stress and reset the presence of your day in just 4 minutes. Go and grab it now at www.mindfulnessinactionbook.com.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to Life Interrupted Radio. We're talking with Denny Stockdale, and he is an expert in understanding bullying and communication, forgiveness, encouragement. He's just such an inspirational, motivational person that I enjoy having him here to share with us about abuse recovery, especially abuse recovery as an adult. Oftentimes, we're told to buck up, especially the men in our lives, and that's one of Denny's specialties. His website is abuserecoveryformen.com, but today we're sharing tips for both men and women to understand what is abuse, adult abuse, and how do we recover from it and keeping and continue a life of thriving and encouragement and finding those in our life that make make our journey fun to go along with. And Danny's one of those people in my life that makes the journey fun to go along with. And we were sharing about this idea of what is mine and what isn't mine when bullying happens to us. So, Denny, let's talk a little bit about this idea of, you've said a couple of times that, you know, it wasn't about me. How do we know that?
Well, what I've discovered, and it's been a long road to get here, is that if I'm feeling uncomfortable with the information that somebody is giving me and they're delivering it in a manner that's not supportive or encouraging, then it says a lot about who they are and what trauma they might be experiencing in that moment that they don't know about. And the question I have when somebody comes off as rude or mean or as a bully or yells or mistreats me in some manner, the question comes up for me, where did they learn that behavior? not to let them off the hook, but it lets me understand my position and realize that I'm not a bad person. I don't have to take that crap on anymore, if you will.
And that, yeah, and as you say, where did they learn that behavior is really from what I call that third perspective. It's not you asking the question about them or yourself. It really is what I call that observation position of stepping back, dissociating or detaching from the situation and taking that observer role is such a clear way to get greater perspective on their behavior. And I know sometimes we've shared the word, the idea of emotional triggers and how maybe their tone of voice can trigger us and that or our tone of voice triggered them and it just becomes some sort of crazy spiral, and how effective that idea of the observer role, that being able to dissociate or detach and ask a question, as profound as where did they learn that behavior from. So once you've asked that question, how do you process what you see from that third, that detached role? Sometimes it's hard to notice us when we've been triggered by something. Let's talk about this idea of emotional triggers and how we can learn more about our own.
Absolutely. Well, when I am triggered, the first thing I can do is stop and take a deep breath and step away from that situation. If it's too, if it triggers me in the wrong way, or if I find myself getting really angry and rageful, then I need to stop. Now, in my world, anger is a really cool emotion if we handle it well. Anger is about issues. It's never about people. But we forget that. And in my world, we have to talk about the issues between us. So triggers come up for me quite a bit, and I am aware of my own triggers, and that helps me. Self-awareness, I think, is the foundation to knowing what triggers us. If I'm starting to breathe a little shallower, or my voice goes up a little bit, or I have different body sensations, maybe I'm cold when it's a warm room, I can guess that there might be something going on. Or if my stomach starts churning, I'm being triggered, and I can figure out what is that trigger and where did this start. That's how I was able to dig back into my prenatal abuse, and I've talked with my mom, and she's had a tremendous amount of healing because of the conversations we've had from that.
Oh, and I love that, because I think it all starts with these authentic conversations. They're not easy to do. I know you and I have shared this idea of how, you know, being authentic and transparent is never easy to do, but how healing those conversations are when we're able to talk from where we're at, what's going on for us, and being able to share that in an authentic way instead of having the you conversation, which a lot of people start with that. You did this and you did that and how dare you, and destructive that is versus the I conversation.
Yeah, another thing that really helps me is to realize that at the end of the day, regardless of our race, creed, religion, or anything else, we all want the same thing. We want to be with people that we love that also love us. And I think that's the foundation of your show. What we're talking about is a lot of the problems with abuse and some tips for people. And the biggest thing underlying any type of abuse or healing from that is communication. And that's why I created the Abuse Recovery Map, a six-step guide to help myself and others heal from the aftershock of abuse, whether we've been a primary or a secondary victim of that trauma.
And, you know, it's so important to have a blueprint like the Abuse Recovery Map. You've shared it with me, and I found it so profound. Let's share just a couple of the tips on that recovery map, because, you know, when something is a map, it gives us directions. And to me, this is just a fine, fine blueprint for people when they have that moment of realization. They're ready to take those first steps. You've laid it out in just this easy step-by-step format. So let's share with people. And those first steps can always feel scary. And with your map and your programs, people know that they're not alone. So let's share with the audience just a couple of those first steps that people can take on using the Abuse Recovery Map.
Absolutely. The first step is really the hardest one, and that's to begin. And people can find me at abuserecoveryformen.com, and begin their journey there. I'm working with a community of men, and I have a program that will help them with their communication and also sharing their stories. So step one is begin. It takes a lot of courage to step up and stand up. You know, it takes a strong man to do what I've done. I didn't know how strong I was when I started my journey a few years ago. And when I look back from where I'm at now and the people that have stood with me, I know that I'm on the right path. So beginning is really a foundational part of that. Also having the right people with you on your journey, and sometimes you don't know that they're the right people, but in looking back, everything that's happened has taught me a lesson if I look for it. My favorite step on the map, they're all favorites, but is about forgiveness. And with forgiveness, the foundation of that is the understanding. Looking at this from a different perspective, what might be triggering the other person? How did I get involved? Do I want to still associate with them? And whether I want to associate with them or not, I can still come to a place of forgiveness. I've actually come to a place of forgiving my ex-wife's first husband for what he did to her, because I understand that at some point he had severe trauma in his life too.
You know, and forgiveness is such a strong, it is good for the other person, but we always forgive for ourselves. It's for our own healing that we use forgiveness. And I'm such a strong advocate of it that Life Interrupted Radio, actually, the nonprofit that we give to is called Project Forgiveness. And I just love that the topic that we're talking about forgiveness. And, you know, Denny, you and I could just keep going on forever and ever, but we're just about out of time. Share again with them how to find out more about the Abuse Recovery Map and the amazing work that you do. And I want to encourage women, too. I know Denny's work is primarily with men. But, ladies, if you have a man in your life and you've thought, you know, what is his past and his bullying, understanding from Denny's work about abuse recovery for men, as women, it helps us understand and love the men in our life just a little bit more and have understanding and empathy and compassion for them. So, Denny, share again more about the abuse recovery map that you've developed and how people can learn more about it and get a hold of it.
Absolutely. Thank you, Sharon. The abuse recovery map is a tool that will improve communications, whether you're a man or a woman. It can also be used as a reflective guide for your own recovery. And it's got the six powerful steps, the first one being begin, et cetera. You can find out more about that at abuserecoveryformen.com. And then you'll find a tab on my website, Abuse Recovery Map, and you can explore more there. And those are available for purchase on my website. I've also got a community page for men only where I'm offering, where men can come and have courageous conversations together and talk about their stories and heal together. And not just the stories, the solutions. Because the stories are important, the solutions and gifts and lessons we learn from those are more important. And then I also have a little gift for anybody who signs up for my newsletter. When they go to my website, a special gift, The Trailblazer's Guide to Betrayal, From Hurting to Healing. It's a $20 value as a thank you for signing up for the Encouragement Matters monthly newsletter. And my newsletter has tips and ideas for creating a kinder world.
I love your newsletter. I just so look forward to it every month. I encourage you that if this has resonated with you, and join the community. It's a safe, wonderful place of people with full of compassion and understanding and sharing those powerful conversations so you can thrive and continue the work that you were meant to do. Denny, thank you so much. I'm so thrilled that you are continuing the work that you're meant to do, and that's to offer encouragement to us and help guide us, be the lantern that guides us through this, how to come out the other side and thrive if we've had abuse in our life. So thank you for being my guest on Life Interrupted Radio today.
And thank you so much, Sharon. And I want to leave you and your listeners with one question. What would a kinder world be like?
Oh, my goodness, such a profound question. What would a kinder world be like? Thank you, Denny. I'll ponder that. And everyone, our next guest after this commercial break is Charmaine Hammond, and we're looking forward to a conversation, continuing the conversation of bullying with Charmaine. Thank you, Danny.
Thank you, Sharon.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
And this segment of Life Interrupted Radio is sponsored by the Mindfulness in Action book. You can find out more about how to be mindfulness and use it in your everyday life at mindfulnessinactionbook.com. When you go there, be sure and download your free 4-minute guided meditation. Imagine being able to be mindful and reset and get started for your day in just 4 minutes. It's all free at mindfulnessinactionbook.com, mindfulnessinactionbook.com.
You're connected to the EWN Radio Network.
And welcome back, everyone, to Life Interrupted Radio. Our next guest is Charmaine Hammond. Charmaine comes to us as she's an amazing woman. First, let me give you her bio. She's an expert in leadership, communication, and building healthy, inspired workplaces. I love this. She says she started her career behind bars. And when I first read that, my mouth dropped open until you read the neckline, which it says, as a corrections officer. She managed young offender facilities and developed educational programs for the youth in care. Years later, she earned a master's degree in conflict analysis and management, was a corporate mediator, spearheaded a few nonprofit organizations, and then followed her real passion, which is public speaking and sharing just this fountain of knowledge that she's learned throughout the years about conflict. And that's why I wanted to have her on with the topic of bullying. You see, Charmaine has an interesting take on this. Her dog inspired her to become an author and a best-selling and award-winning author of 5 books, actually, that are now, and she's also featured in 6 other books. She's just returned from her second leg of a national kindness tour, which she calls PAWS, P-A-W-S, across Canada. And that's featuring her and her beautiful dog, Toby. This kindness tour is aimed at a million acts of kindness and preventing bullying in schools, workplaces, and communities. And Charmaine has presented over 15,000 students in more than 50 schools, where she talks about self-esteem, bullying prevention, kindness, anger management, and peaceful problem resolution skills. So, my goodness, Charmaine, you are the person to talk to about bullying prevention for sure. And I love that Toby is part of it. You know, I think we're just all, pets always tend to bring out the best in most of us, I think.
Well, they do. Pets do bring out the best in us. And you know what else they do is they are great teachers of unconditional acceptance. And we started seeing this when we brought Toby the dog into presentations at schools where we were teaching bully prevention and kindness. And dogs are just so unconditional with their acceptance, with their love, with their kindness. And kids get it. You know, they get it when they see it displayed that way. So Toby the dog loves the kids. The kids love Toby. And I love the fact that we get to talk about what really matters.
You know, and that's wonderful. Anything that allows people to have open ears and open heart is fantastic. Now tell me, I know that you have a great story about Toby and how he came into your life.
What happened is we were looking to adopt a furry friend, and so we found Toby Sr., who was 5 years old at the time, and we adopted him from a rescue organization. He was perfect for 6 months in a workplace. He was like the perfect employee, and then he passed probation, and he turned into somebody else's dog that was destroying our house, our furniture, moving things around, emptying closets, even breaking toilet tank lids. We have no idea how he did that. Yes, oh my. And, we had to get help for this dog because he was putting strain on our marriage. And, you know, if thunder would happen, we'd have to race home so our house wasn't destroyed. And we had a behaviorist come in and she said, your dog is a dog who needs a job and a purpose. And we had Toby trained to become a therapy dog. And he volunteered at a hospital for mental health patients for 4 years with me every Wednesday.
Wow, that's just wonderful. Now, I know that Toby Sr. passed on, and we're now with Toby Jr.
We are. And this dog's mission is a little different. I think Toby Sr. was all about, let me just love the world, and he just wanted to love. And this dog, Toby Jr., who is just turned 2 years old, so he is a bundle of energy, a big puppy on four tall legs, and you know, I think his purpose is around kindness, because from the moment we brought him home, he just started demonstrating kindness and acceptance to people. And the kids love him because he is far from a perfect dog. And so when we're in schools, we talk about the importance of accepting people for who they are and where they're at, just like Toby, who's misbehaving on the stage at this very moment. And the kids get it and can relate to him. You know, he tore apart he was throwing a toy one day and threw it off the stage and had a barking fit until somebody got the toy for him. But what it did is it allowed us to have conversations with the kids about what they see happen in their life, what they could translate from Toby.
Wow. Now, let's talk a little bit. I know bullying is such a big topic, and Denny just shared with us about what it's like to be an adult and not only a bullying survivor as a child, but someone who carried that pattern on into adult life, being a bullying survivor into adult life. And he shared with us some great tips on, I'll say, survival. But I know your topic is more around prevention and making sure that everybody understands, as you said, that unconditional, that acceptance. What are some things we can do to share with others, you know, sort of walk the walk and talk the talk, and also help the young people in our lives understanding what bullying really is? Because sometimes it's not as overt as sort of a punch in the nose.
That is so true. And it's sometimes the subtle behaviors that get missed and overlooked. And I do a lot of work training and consulting in workplaces, and I see that all the time, that there are situations that are going on that would fall under a definition of bullying, but they're so subtle and they're so infrequent that they often get looked at as a one-time issue. One of the things that I think is so important when we talk about bullying prevention in the workplace is that we actually start to look at the patterns that are going on with an individual's behavior. And I think bullying at its simplest definition is really repeated acts that are intended to harm somebody physically or even emotionally that are done in a repeated way. And that's where we start to get really concerned. So in the workplace, when we see these patterns of somebody's behavior being offensive and on purpose, it's deliberate, that's when we really need to look at stepping in and intervening.
And sometimes that's really tough, because I've been in workplaces where I'm going in my own mind, that's bullying, and yet the actual bully, or sometimes even the culture, unfortunately, go, oh, that was just a joke, or, you know, oh, that's just Joe, and there's a lot of,
yes,
especially in the adults, I think we're more conscious of it with children on the playground, but especially as adults, it's a bit harder to define bullying, I think.
I would agree with you, and you raised something that was critically important when you said, oh, it was just a joke, or, oh, that's just the way he is. When I used to teach on workplace violence prevention in the workplace, those were some of the examples I used. We often minimize a person's destructive behavior. We minimize it, or we make excuses for it, saying, oh, it's Monday, you know, but he's a great guy on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, but just don't get him on a Monday. We make these comments, and what you were saying about culture is critical, because what happens is that starts to become the culture where we accept those behaviors instead of intervening, following up, doing supervision, training, and coaching, all of those skill sets that are important to help deal with the situation for the person being affected, the person displaying the bullying behaviors, and the impact that it's having on the entire team.
Well, let's say from the observer position, I might not be the one being bullied, but I'm noticing that, you know, we'll just use the names Joe and John, that Joe tends to be that bully, regardless of Monday or not, and poor Joe seems to be the... maybe I'm getting my names mixed up here. But anyway, Joe tends to be bullying in my mind, and the poor John seems to be the unwitting victim all the time. What can I do as, I'll say, an outsider, when not direct, you know, having it directed at them, to help encourage better communication, help encourage a more loving workplace, a more understanding and accepting workplace?
It's a great question, and it's one that I think a lot of people struggle with in the workplace, because when they are exposed to bullying, not directly but indirectly, they're not sure what to do. And so one of the strategies that's critical is for organizations to make sure they have policies and that they train the employees on what to do if they see something that's inappropriate, makes them uncomfortable, or clearly is an act of bullying. The other thing people can do is not be a bystander. When I work with children, I actually help them develop a script, which is simply, hey, it's not okay to treat that person that way. That doesn't make me feel good. And then, of course, going and talking to the teacher. And we can take that same type of script into the workplace and let the person know who's doing the bullying that it's not okay and that it's affecting me as a team member to see or be exposed to this. We may also want to report it to our supervisor. But what I've learned is a lot of times bullying happens. I've seen this so many times, I just can't share enough examples where somebody was using inappropriate jokes or talking to someone in a derogatory way or making slurs against their culture or their religious beliefs, and their intention was to be funny. However, the impact was not one of humor at all. Somebody like the bystander brings that to their attention. They then have the choice to say, oh my goodness, I'm so sorry, and stop that behavior. And of course, if it continues, then it really clearly is a big concern to be addressed. So part of the skill, and it can be tough and scary, is letting someone know that their behavior is not okay with you.
Yeah, I'm glad you bring that up, that tough and scary, because sometimes it could be someone who signs your paycheck, and it could be tough and scary that way. Or maybe they're just sort of, you're not the victim right now of the bullying, but they're sort of the office bully in a way. You might be a little fearful, like if I step up and say, hey, it's not okay, all of a sudden they'll turn on me.
And so, you become the target, right?
What do we do if, I'll say, you mentioned about bringing it to management's attentions and things. How can we start a conversation around it and bringing it to the attention? Maybe we don't have a bullying policy in our company, or it's never been addressed in such a way that there's a protocol for me to go to, so to develop that, so we can make sure that the next time I just don't step up and say, hey, this isn't okay, that there's always ways that I'm making sure that, like I said, I don't become the victim, or you know, it escalates into something else.
Yes. I think it's great when companies, even small organizations, I have a nonprofit group that I work with, I consult with, and they're a group of 5 people. But they still have policies of respect in the workplace. And the bullying component falls under that policy of respect in the workplace. So policies and procedures, because the policy is great, but procedures help people put that policy into action. And the other part that I think can be very helpful is a lot of organizations are now looking at things like internal mentors or internal advocates or advisors. One group I worked with, they created a program called Internal Neutrals, and they were senior employees across the company who were able to be there as a mentor. So it was very clear that if an individual went with a concern about somebody's behavior, it wasn't being dealt with in a disciplinary way, but that person exists to coach and mentor that individual on how to either apply a policy, how to get support in the company, or how to go and talk to this individual. And the last piece I would say that can really transform teams and build respect in the workplace is to create a team charter where the team participates in discussing the types of behavior that will and will not be accepted and how to deal with these situations. And when the team has participated and there's a document that supports it, what happens is a lot of times the behavior starts to stop because the environment simply will not tolerate it. And people now have the support of this document that they all created together to be able to step forward to their peers and say, that is not okay, what just happened.
I love that idea of the team concept, because then everyone has come to the table and agreed on what is and isn't bullying. And I so agree with you mentioned a little bit ago about this idea of humor. And oftentimes it's just a disguise for bullying. And
Yes.
What else? They sort of a get out of jail free card when many people can be going, but you know, that's not fair.
Exactly.
Somehow it's sort of used as that. So I love that idea of the team developing the protocols and the procedures for people to go through, and this concept of someone or a group of people being what you call neutrals. I like mm-hmm. the term neutral is just so profound that, look, I'm not here, I'm not the judge and jury here. This is someone
yes.
from the observer position and going back
exactly.
to the protocol.
Exactly. What it does is it builds a sense of collaboration and support in the workplace.
And that is so critical, absolutely so critical. We need to break for do a quick commercial break. I just am always amazed at how fast this time goes when I get so involved with, you know, this kind of conversation is so important out there in the workplace. But I need to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be back in a moment.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
And this segment of Life Interrupted Radio is sponsored by the Mindfulness in Action book. You can find out more about how to be mindfulness and use it in your everyday life at mindfulnessinactionbook.com. When you go there, be sure and download your free 4-minute guided meditation. Imagine being able to be mindful and reset and get started for your day in just 4 minutes. It's all free at mindfulnessinactionbook.com. mindfulnessinactionbook.com. Well, welcome back, everyone. We are talking with Charmaine Hammond, and she is the author of numerous books on bullying, and she and her dog, Toby, tour the Canada and the United States with Paws Across Canada, and features her dog, Toby, and they talk about the kindness tour. I just love that title, the kindness tour. And we've been talking about how to prevent bullying. I know we shared in the earlier part of the show, Life Interrupted Radio here, with Denny Stockdale on some tips if you are currently being bullied. But I love this idea that we're taking a step back and preventing bullying from beginning and allowing it to be embedded in our culture. We've been talking about this idea in the workplace and teams and having the team develop the protocols and what is and isn't bullying, because oftentimes, as you said, Charmaine, humor can be disguised bullying. Let's mm-hmm. take it to this step back in the second part of our conversation here about the young people and how we can help young people understand bullying, too, so they don't grow up to be the bullies or have to face bullying in the workplace. I know you do a lot mm-hmm. of speaking with students, and what can we share with the young people in our lives to develop a more inclusive feeling about people?
One of the things that we have really focused on, and we're seeing a lot of success with this, is that we've started to talk about the values and the character that we really want to see children exhibit. So we focus less on the term bully prevention, and we focus more on kindness, acceptance, respect, being a standing up instead of being a bystander, support, friendship, all of those qualities that are so important. And those are the messages that we're really trying to drive home for students. But we also talk about accountability. And one of the programs that we were teaching at a school, we were talking about sometimes our words hurt. I mean, we've all been on the receiving end of an adult or a student saying something that is hurtful. And we've probably all said something that landed not well for somebody or was perceived or was hurtful. And it's all about accountability. So teaching children to be accountable for their actions. And I always go back to one of the school teachers that I had in elementary school. And I just remember how skilled she was at holding students accountable, that when they hurt somebody's feelings, they were required to go and apologize and to actually explore the impact that it had on that particular student, because it was also important to this teacher that the students become friends or that they can actually be in the classroom together without being hurtful. So helping children develop healthy relationships, and I think another strategy is helping children develop conflict resolution skills, because I see a lot where people are perceiving right now a difference of opinion as a bullying incident, and they're different. They're very different.
I couldn't agree more that oftentimes when it's just a difference of opinion, people take such great offense and length. How are you helping people understand the difference between just it's okay to have a difference of opinion and that's where it stays versus escalating it into conflict or something even worse?
One of the best examples is I actually use, as silly as this may sound, it's powerful, I actually use the dog park as an example of teaching acceptance of difference. So I show some videos that we have of Toby in the dog park, and there's all different breeds in that park, dogs with long hair, short hair, curly hair, spots, no spots. And we talk about, despite all the they all get along, and none of the dogs are judging each other for the number of spots they have or don't have. And then we talk about how those differences happen in the community, and it's so interesting. The minute I show it and just mention a few words, the kids completely understand where I'm going. And then what we do is we talk about the difference of opinion. Some dogs like to play fetch. Other dogs are not fetch dogs. They like to chase, or they like to be chased, or they like to go swimming in the river. And so we talk about, again, the differences, and that each difference is okay. It's what makes us who we are, and that the world needs that individuality. And what's important is that we learn to also display our own differences with pride. And that's one way that we've been finding the conversation is opening up with students. And the other that I think is so important when we talk about differentiating between conflict and difference of opinion is we go through exercises, for example, whose favorite color is orange, whose favorite color is blue, and that's just a difference of opinion. Some like blue, some like orange. When somebody does or says something over and over again on purpose to make you feel bad, that's bullying.
Oh, that's such a great lesson for, I'll say, even adults to learn. You mentioned, well, I want to go circle back on one thing that you're mentioning about the teacher who had this mm-hmm. wonderful ability to get the children to talk to each other and to apologize. Now, sometimes when I'm working with young people, I've run into a few adults, too, that when they do say they're sorry, you can tell it's kind of like, sorry. Nothing heartfelt,
yes,
shall
no
we
sincerity.
Say. Yeah, I was curious how we get people to understand the difference between that sorry and a true heartfelt apology.
I'm going to go back to an example where I had to apologize as a child for something, and I was by my mom how to make a proper apology. And I'll tell you, this is years and years ago, and it still is so fresh as it was then. So not only was that my mom coached me and said, I need you to say I'm sorry, for I had said some words that were intended as a joke and hurt the person's feelings. I was probably about 7. And my mom said, and then you need to talk with her about how it made you feel when you saw her crying, and you need to ask her how it felt for her when you said the words that made her cry. And that's where that level of sincerity, where it changed it from I'm sorry to I broke into hysterical crying. I just felt so bad. And I can remember that was sort of the biggest moment of me knowing what empathy was. I clearly understood that my words had hurt somebody and had a negative impact. And that's when I understood, even though I didn't know that was empathy, that's when I understood it because I felt it.
Yes. Just my own political little side note here is I find a lot of people try to shelter their children from that moment of pain, guilt, a little bit of shame mm-hmm. or embarrassment, instead of learning the lesson of empathy.
I agree. And what I think is so important is to provide our children with those learning moments because we need those skills in the workplace. We need to know how our behavior impacts somebody positively or negatively. So even though our child is going to face some discomfort, they're healthy growing pains. And as parents, we can support our children through that. You know, we can help practice the skills. I always say that drive time and dinner time is one of the best moments with our children because we have their undivided attention. There's no TV going on. We've got that undivided attention to talk about our day or to talk about our friendships and relationships and to brainstorm ways we can deal with those challenges.
Oh, absolutely. And I am a huge fan of drive time because I always found as my children got older, My eyes were on the road, and so the eye contact was minimized, and the amount of talk, really true, transparent, authentic talk, became so much greater because Mom wasn't making eye contact.
That's a great point. I've never thought of it that way.
Sometimes when I was talking to my children, they're, you know, adults now, but when I was talking to my children about these kinds of things and I was making, I'll say, too much eye contact, it became, I'll say, a little harder for them to hear because of the eye contact. But I always loved a drive time. I felt I could get some of my best, I'll use the phrase, drive-by thoughts, things I wanted to drop into their mind, without the eye contact, and it seemed to sink in better. Also, mm-hmm. I agree about mealtime. That's one of the things that I think is sorely lacking nowadays, is that ability to sit around the dinner table and really connect, because that connection with family members is where we practice getting along and love and compassion and empathy first.
Exactly. One class that I presented to, we actually used a little video, and I don't even remember which one it was now, but it was off YouTube. It was just a short little video showing acts of kindness that had been caught on camera. And the students, I mean, they were just bug-eyed watching this, and you could see that they were so moved by these acts of random kindness and intentional kindness. And the conversation that went on afterwards was so rich. And what I learned from these students, I mean, they taught me a lot. They were grades kindergarten to grade six, so young students. They have wonderful answers about how to make our world, our community, our workplaces kinder. And their solutions are very simple, but very powerful.
And I've found that so often, too, that this is a natural part of them, and all we have to do is encourage it, and it just blossoms and blossoms. But I found that, too, that the young people understand the concept of kindness very quickly.
Yes. Yes, and it's such an important skill set in that whole realm of bully prevention, because when we're kind and when we intentionally decide to show up in the world kind, you know, bullying doesn't factor into that mix.
Absolutely. And as a parent or, you know, an adult mentor of children, how can we continue to encourage them? We've talked about building empathy and kindness. I know communication is a big part, but sometimes when we're, well, even as adults, it's tough. But in just the last minute we have left, I know we're opening a big door here, but what are a couple thoughts that we can use to help encourage young people to understand communication and the ramifications of it?
One way is to just get them in conversation. So to ask a lot of open-ended questions that engage your child back in the conversation. Commercials, if you're watching TV with your family, commercials are a great time to shut off the TV for 3 minutes and just talk about what you watched. It's amazing what we can learn by having conversations about the things we do on an everyday basis. And I think the other thing is to just be very careful about what we model. Children see and learn from what we do verbally and non-verbally. So be careful about what they're overhearing as we talk about other family members or our day at work on the phone to a friend, because that's where they learn part of their coping skills.
Oh, my goodness. I'm flashing back to a moment where I learned that the hard way as an adult with my young child. Something was repeated, and I never did that again. One of those moments where you... live learning.
Yes, live learning for sure.
Yeah, those are great tips. Now, in the moments we have left, I want the audience to know how to get a hold of you and learn more about Toby and the amazing books that you and Toby have written together and how they can learn more about your different programs.
Well, they can follow us on YouTube, on Twitter, and on Facebook. And the handle is The Original Team Toby. That's our website, theoriginalteamtoby.com. And we're on all the different social media platforms. And we love to engage in conversation about making the world a kinder place and reducing bullying at home, work, and the community. So let's stay in touch.
Oh, absolutely. And everyone, Toby and Shermaine have written some of the most amazing books that are great for engaging your kids and even your adult friends in this conversation about conflict management and bullying prevention. And as we started the show, about how pets and how animals really allow us to open up in a way that maybe just face-to-face conversation doesn't quite allow. So thank you, Charmaine, for being our guest
here.
Life Interrupted Radio. This is such an important topic, and I want to thank you and Toby, for going all around sharing this message so people really get it.
Thanks for bringing the conversation out to the forefront.
Absolutely. And everyone, that's theoriginalteamtoby.com to get more information about Charmaine and Toby and their bullying prevention.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
And this segment of Life Interrupted Radio is sponsored by the Mindfulness in Action book. You can find out more about how to be mindfulness and use it in your everyday life at mindfulnessinactionbook.com. When you go there, be sure and download your free 4-minute guided meditation. Imagine being able to be mindful and reset and get started for your day in just 4 minutes. It's all free at mindfulnessinactionbook.com, mindfulnessinactionbook.com. Thank you for joining me for another episode of Life Interrupted Radio. We're here every Friday night at 7 p.m. Eastern with a new episode of Life Interrupted Radio, helping you thrive after the unexpected. If you have an idea for a guest or a topic and you'd love to hear it, drop me, Sharon Saylor, your host of Life Interrupted Radio, an email at connect@lifeinterruptedradio.com, and I'd love to hear from you. And join me again next week, Friday night, 7 p.m., where we'll settle in with another cup of tea and learn something new to help us thrive and create the life of our dreams. Go make it a great day.
You've been listening to Life Interrupted Radio. To learn more, listen to other shows, and gain free resources that can help empower your life, be sure to stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com.
You're connected to the EWN Radio Network.